Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections of the city, the state, and the nation. This is your election guru, Mark Fronhugh. Glad you could join us today. And I remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of those who are blind or print impaired. Materials or items written AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. No siree. All right, so it is local stuff this week. We've managed to scrounge a few things up. But first, we're going to start off with, yeah, you guessed it, an obituary. From the entertainment section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, February 26, 2025, Jerry Butler, 1939 to 2025, Iceman had a hot streak on the charts, then became fixture in Chicago politics, by Mikhail Wood, pop music critic. Jerry Butler, who found R&B stardom in the late 50s as the first lead singer of The Impressions before moving on to a solo career and a second life in Chicago politics, died February 20. He was 85. His death was reported by the Chicago Sun-Times, which cited a family friend and said that Butler, who had Parkinson's disease, died at his home. Nicknamed the Iceman, Butler sang in a coolly known baritone that hinted at the passions of church and romance while putting across a sense of reassurance that here was a guy who knew what to do in any given situation. Among his dozens of hits, many of which he co-wrote, were The Impressions' debut single, For Your Precious Love, He Will Break Your Heart, Make It Easy on Yourself, Let It Be Me, and Only the Strong Survive, reached number 4 on Billboard's Hot 100 in 1969 and inspired subsequent renditions by Elvis Presley, Rod Stewart, and Bruce Springsteen, among others. In 1970, Only the Strong Survive was nominated for R&B Song at the Grammy Awards, while Butler's album, The Iceman Cometh, produced by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, architects of the lush Philly soul sound, received a nod for R&B vocal performance. Butler put more than 50 songs on Billboard's R&B chart, including 18 in the top 10. As a member of The Impressions, which he formed with his teen friend Curtis Mayfield, who took over as the group's lead singer when Butler left in 1960, Butler was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1991, half a decade after he was elected to a spot on the Cook County Board of Commissioners. He held the position until he retired in 2018. Butler was born to sharecropper parents on December 8, 1939 in Sunflower, Mississippi, and moved at age 3 with his family to Chicago. He and Mayfield sang together in church and toured as members of a gospel outfit before starting The Impressions. The group scored a deal with VJ Records in 1958 and released For Your Precious Love, which Otis Redding and Jackie Wilson later covered. After leaving The Impressions in Mayfield's care, the group went on to help soundtrack the civil rights movement with such songs as Keep On Pushing and People Get Ready. Butler topped the R&B chart on his own with He Will Break Your Heart, which he co-wrote with Mayfield and featured Mayfield on guitar and background vocals. Butler reached number 11 on the Hot 100 in 1961 with a debonair version of Moon River. In 1965, he and Redding co-wrote I've Been Loving You Too Long, which became a widely interpreted soul standard. By the end of the 1960s, Butler had struck up a fruitful partnership with Gamble and Huff that presaged the success that that duo would find in the 70s. Butler briefly reunited with The Impressions in the early 80s. Mayfield died in 1999 at age 57, and he continued to perform amid his duties as a politician. His music was sampled by the likes of Method Man, J. Dilla, and Pusha T. Bruce Springsteen used Only the Strong Survive as the title track for his 2022 R&B Covers LP, which also included a take on Butler's Hey Western Union Man. Butler's wife, Annette Butler, who sometimes performed with him, died in 2019. Survivors, according to the Sun-Times, include their 2 sons, 4 grandchildren, and a great-grandchild. That was Jerry Butler, 1939 to 2025. Iceman had a hot streak on the charts, then became fixture in Chicago politics. By Mikhail Wood, pop music critic. From the entertainment section of the Los Angeles Times for Wednesday, February 26, 2025. All right, And we're on to this one, a little ways back from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, June 2nd, 2024. Caruso steps up political activity. Developer who lost to Bass appears to be eyeing another run for mayor, even governor, by Dakota Smith. Real estate developer Rick Caruso made it clear 2 years ago that he wouldn't run again for Los Angeles mayor if he lost to Karen Bass. But lately, Caruso has been behaving a bit like a candidate. The mega-wealthy businessman sent out a poll to his email subscribers in April, asking them about the city's handling of street repairs while noting how easy it is to hit a pothole the size of a manhole cover when exiting the 405 freeway. It's a headache many of us deal with every day in Los Angeles, one I experienced myself on the way to an event just the other day, he wrote. Caruso has also criticized the city's use of LAPD officers to guard the downtown skyscrapers that were tagged with graffiti earlier this year, telling NBC4 that it was a waste of our officers' time, money, and our taxpaying dollars. He is also raising his Democratic fundraising profile, helping host events for congressional candidates around California and around the country. The developer's moves, almost 2 years after Bass beat Caruso by nearly 10 percentage points, are raising questions about whether he might run for mayor again, or perhaps declare himself a candidate in another high-profile race, such as California governor. Caruso declined an interview request with the Times last week. A person familiar with his strategy told the Times that the developer hasn't ruled out a run for either mayor or governor in 2026. Last time, Caruso spent more than $100 million of his own fortune in his bid to become mayor. For now, he's using his newsletter and email list to share his thoughts on city policies, including homelessness, and to poll the public on what they want to see. We must demand greater accountability from HACLA and other involved agencies, Caruso wrote in May, linking to a West Side Current story about the housing authority of the city of Los Angeles allowing properties meant for homeless housing to remain vacant. He helped co-host a fundraiser for President Biden in December and has co-hosted fundraisers for other Democratic candidates this election cycle, including Montana Senator John Tester, Congressional candidate Will Rollins in California's Inland Empire, and Nevada's Senator Jackie Rosen, according to the person familiar with Caruso's strategy. Sticking with the central theme of getting moderates in the House, Caruso told Politico last fall about his fundraising strategy. I am not out to support extremists or frankly ideologues. Caruso's spending could help counter a criticism he faced during the 2022 mayoral campaign that his past affiliation with a Republican showed he wasn't a true Democrat. Caruso has plowed $25,000 into a new PAC affiliated with Thrive LA, a group dedicated to electing moderate Democratic candidates in Los Angeles. In the March primary, the PAC supported Deputy City Attorney Ethan Weaver, who waged an unsuccessful campaign against Councilmember Nathia Raman in her Silver Lake to Reseda district. Weaver attacked Raman on Los Angeles Police Department funding and homelessness issues that Caruso had also highlighted in his failed bid for mayor. Political experts interviewed by the Times said that Caruso was clearly setting himself up in case he decides to run for mayor again or enter the governor's race. So far, the field of declared candidates for governor includes Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konolakis, California Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman, State Senator Tony Atkins, Democrat of San Diego, and former State Controller Betty Yee. But Caruso's support for Weaver, who trailed Raman by more than 10 points, could demonstrate to the public that he's out of touch with LA's electorate. And Thrive LA's own polling released earlier this year shows that Bass is still relatively popular. Around City Hall this week, several council members declined to comment when asked about a Caruso-Bass rematch or a Caruso run for governor. No, said Council President-elect Marquise Harris Dawson, a Bass ally, when asked whether he wanted to weigh in. Sam Yebri, president of Thrive LA, also declined to speculate about Caruso's future, but said he appreciates the developer's willingness to engage on really important issues, particularly public safety, housing, and economic development. Nothing will change unless Angelenos, with a major platform like he has used to highlight the dissatisfaction with current policies, said Yebri, who wants the city, among other among other things, to be more aggressive about hiring more police officers. Caruso also flirted with running for the city's top job ahead of the 2013 mayoral election, but opted not to jump in. That was Caruso Steps Up Political Activity by Dakota Smith from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, June 2nd, 2024. This article was originally published as part of the LA on the Record newsletter. To subscribe, go to latimes.com/newsletters. Obviously written before the presidential election and before the major event that just happened. I'm speaking, of course, of the fires. All right, now here is something from a publication called citywatch.com, and this is called 2026 Mayoral Rematch Self-Evident by Nick Antonicello for January 20, 2025. Politics. Looking presidential in appearance and presentation, billionaire developer Rick Caruso appeared on HBO's Real Time Friday evening as it appears a second race with LA Mayor Karen Bass is all but probable. Caruso, a Los Angeles developer, civic leader, and businessman, appeared on Real Time with Bill Maher on January 17th to discuss the city's preparedness for wildfires. Caruso highlighted concerns about inadequate vegetation management and water supply issues, emphasizing that the recent Palisades fire was a foreseeable disaster. He stated, 6 years ago, we had a fire in Brentwood. I said, if that fire travels, it's going to come through and wipe out the Palisades. I'm so sad that I was right, offered this candidate in waiting. During their conversation, both Caruso and Maher acknowledged former President Donald Trump's previous remarks on the importance of brush clearing to prevent fires. Caruso agreed that Trump had a valid point regarding the necessity of vegetation management. Caruso also shared that his Palisades Village shopping mall remained unscathed during the fires due to the use of non-flammable materials and the presence of private firefighters. He advocated for rebuilding efforts to incorporate similar preventive measures, such as using fire-resistant materials and placing power lines underground. Caruso, who spent over $100 million of his own fortune in 2022, only to lose by some 10 percentage points, has stayed close to the electorate in newsletters seeking voter input on a variety of issues while endorsing the candidacy of LA District Attorney Nathan Hochman in his lopsided victory last November over one-term incumbent George Gascon. Caruso, a former Republican turned independent and now a Democrat, has been part of a contingent of political moderates and elected officials seeking to move the left-leaning Democratic Party toward the middle, especially in wake of the loss of the presidency, U.S. Senate, and retention of the House of Representatives by Republicans in the 2024 elections. With Donald Trump now back in office, California has few political allies in Washington, with reduced seniority in the Senate with the election of Adam Schiff. Trump will apparently visit Los Angeles this Friday regarding the state of the wildfires and is anxious to discuss the impending 2028 Summer Olympics as well with city and state officials. For the causes of these wildfires in Los Angeles and California, more broadly, are complex, often involving multiple factors rather than a single entity or individual to blame. Mayor Karen Bass has found herself in disputes with LAFD Chief Kristen Crowley, who has been serving as the chief of Los Angeles Fire Department since March 25, 2022, marking a historic milestone as the department's first female chief. Crowley is the highest-paid chief in the nation, earning nearly $440,000 annually. She began a career with the LAFD in 2000 and has held various positions, including firefighter, paramedic, engineer, fire inspector, captain, battalion chief, assistant chief, fire marshal, and deputy chief. In recent times, Chief Crowley has faced criticism regarding the department's handling of the January 2025 Southern California fires. A group of current and retired firefighters issued a letter expressing concerns over her leadership during the crisis. Additionally, there were unfounded rumors about her dismissal, which were promptly refuted by Mayor Karen Bass's office, confirming that Chief Crowley remains in her position. Throughout her tenure, Chief Crowley has been an advocate for diversity and inclusion within the department, emphasizing the importance of a workforce that reflects the community it serves. She has also been involved in various leadership roles, including serving as a facilitator and instructor at the Los Angeles Fire Department Leadership Academy and chairing the Fire Code Committee for Los Angeles. But at the heart of the matter is, could the devastation done by these fires been avoided? It's a complicated issue, and the political finger-pointing by the likes of Crowley, Bass, Caruso, and others have taken center stage of sorts in this ongoing crisis of how best to mitigate these fires moving forward. Climate change continues to play an increasing role in these fires, as warming temperatures and prolonged droughts have made conditions prone to fire. Climate change has intensified extreme weather patterns, such as the strong winds as witnessed in the Palisades. Many fires, wildfires, are caused by human negligence, such as discarded cigarettes, campfires left unattended, or sparks from equipment, as well as intentional acts of arson, are also responsible for some fires. City officials are currently investigating the reason for this particular wildfire. Electrical equipment from utility companies, e.g. power lines, transformers, have been implicated in some major wildfires. For example, Pacific Gas and Electric has been found liable for several devastating wildfires in Northern California, and Southern California Edison has also been linked to fires in Southern California in the past. High winds can also knock down power lines, creating sparks that ignite fires. Insufficient investment in fire prevention, forest management, and emergency response resources has also been criticized as contributing to the wildfire crisis, as a reduction in the LAFD's budget has also been looked at as another prevention error in financial resources. But rather than assigning blame to a single source, it's more accurate to view California wildfires as the result of interconnected factors, including environmental, human, and systemic causes. For a Bass-Caruso rematch rather much resembles the races in New York City when Manhattan Borough President David Dinkins defeated incumbent Ed Koch for renomination to then defeat Republican Rudy Giuliani in the 1989 general election. Giuliani would bounce back 4 years later and defeat Dinkins. Koch, who had served as mayor since 1978, ran for an unprecedented fourth term in office but was defeated in the Democratic primary by Dinkins, who went on to narrowly defeat the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, Rudolph Giuliani, the candidate of both the Republican and Liberal parties, with 50.42% of the vote to Giuliani's 47.84%. By 1993, the city was suffering from a spike in unemployment associated with the nationwide recession and with a rise in local unemployment rates from 6.7% in 1989 to 11.1% in 1992. Although the crime rate had begun to fall during the Dinkins administration, the incumbent suffered badly from a perception that crime and racial tensions was uncontrolled in the city following events such as the 1991 Crown Heights riot. In 1992, Giuliani was a key speaker at a New York City PBA event opposing Dinkins, in which Giuliani saying the morale of the police department of the city of New York is so low, one reason and one reason alone, David Dinkins. The rally quickly developed into a riot, with nearly 4,000 off-duty police officers storming New York City Hall, blocking traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. Giuliani defeated Dinkins in the 1993 general election, the first time a Republican had served as mayor since the days of John V. Lindsay. But has this wildfire crisis only intensified the probability of a Bass-Caruso rematch? A Caruso-Bass rematch in 2026 depends on several factors, including Caruso's political ambitions, public support, and the political landscape leading up to the Los Angeles mayoral election. What could influence the likelihood? The Mart interview strongly hinted a desire by Caruso to give it another go. If Caruso believes he can mount a stronger campaign, and with fundraising not an issue, Caruso would clear the field of any other serious rivals. Secondly, are voters dissatisfied with Bass's leadership, and has their performance regarding these fires damaged her reputation with the LA electorate? With recall petitions already in circulation, a successful re-election come 2026 is already at risk. For Caruso's significant financial resources will allow him to self-fund another high-profile campaign, which makes a rematch viable. More importantly, the relatively close outcome of the 2022 race suggests that Caruso has substantial support, which he can replicate again, running against this time a flawed incumbent versus a popular member of Congress. For the probability of a 2026 rematch ultimately depends on both individuals' decisions and broader political factors. But as of now, no specific indicators suggest Caruso is not at least seriously considering another run for Los Angeles mayor. And that was 2026 mayoral rematch self-evident by Nick Antonicello from CityWatch.com for January 20, 2025. Nick Antonicello is a 32-year resident of Venice who covered the 2022 LA mayoral campaign. Have a take or a tip on all things political? Contact him via email at nantoni@mindspring.com. Now, here is something from a publication called politicalpulse.net. This is called Los Angeles Mayor Election Polls 2026. Will wildfires hurt Mayor Karen Bass's re-election chances? Author unknown, February 28, 2025. The 2026 Los Angeles mayoral election will take place on June 2, 2026, with a runoff scheduled for November 3, 2026, if no candidate secures a majority of the vote. Incumbent Mayor Karen Bass was first elected in 2022 after defeating Rick Caruso in the city's most expensive election, announced her bid for re-election in July 2024. February 28, Mayor Karen Bass appointed Councilmember Imelda Padilla to the Los Angeles Metro Board, emphasizing transit expansion in the San Fernando Valley. Padilla, the first Latina from the East Valley in this role, will focus on key projects like the East San Fernando Valley Light Rail and Sepulveda Transit Corridor. She prioritizes fare assistance, service reliability, and safety, aligning with Bass's vision for a more accessible and equitable transit system. Will Rick Caruso challenge Karen Bass in 2028? Rick Caruso's recent interview with Barry Weiss sheds light on his potential political ambitions while highlighting his measured stance on key figures. He remains noncommittal about challenging Karen Bass in 2028 or running for governor, but gives Bass a D grade and Newsom a B. His praise for Elon Musk contrasts with his criticism of Jeffrey Katzenberg, whom he refuses to forgive for perceived personal attacks in 2022. Caruso deflects on Donald Trump, stating it's too early to rate him, despite opposing Trump's immigration stance, while criticizing Democratic leadership for lacking self-reflection. He expresses concern over LA's homelessness and crime, arguing that city leaders have failed to deliver meaningful solutions. His involvement in Los Angeles politics persists with donations, legal battles, and a steadfast LA Foundation securing modular homes for wildfire victims. He continues to engage with business and political circles, recently hosting a high-profile fundraiser for Joe Biden while also maintaining ties to Republican figures. LA Mayoral Election Polls 2026 Election Insights. Bass's re-election. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has announced her plans for a run for re-election in 2026, seeking to continue the city's progress. Bass made history in 2022 as the first female and second Black mayor of Los Angeles. Under her leadership, the Inside Safe program has reduced street homelessness by 10.4% and increased shelter occupancy by 17.7%. Her administration has also reduced the time to build affordable housing by 75% and responded to 100,000 more service calls to improve city services such as pothole repairs and graffiti removal. Speculation about a potential rematch with Rick Caruso, whom Bass defeated in 2022, is growing, though Caruso has not yet confirmed his plans for 2026. Caruso's comeback. Despite losing the 2022 Los Angeles mayoral race, Caruso has continued to critique the city's leadership, focusing on issues like homelessness and housing affordability. Analysts suggest that Caruso's late conversion to the Democratic Party and his previous Republican ties may have contributed to his defeat. But some believe he could have a better chance in the upcoming gubernatorial race. With Governor Gavin Newsom's term limits opening the governor's office and the current field for the position lacking a dominant candidate, there is an opportunity for Caruso to appeal to moderate voters statewide. While Caruso's chances in the mayoral race were limited due to Los Angeles' increasingly liberal nature, a statewide platform from governor could enhance his prospects. Frequently asked questions. What's behind the devastating Los Angeles wildfires? The wildfires in Los Angeles have become one of the city's most devastating disasters, fueled by strong Santa Ana winds and extreme dryness. Some 62 square miles of land have been burned, with the Palisades and Eaton fires resulting in at least 24 deaths and displacing thousands. The fires are intensified by prolonged drought and extremely high temperatures, which make vegetation highly flammable. Climate change also plays a significant role in increasing wildfire risks. Investigations have ruled out lightning as a cause, leaving arson and utility issues as possibilities. Los Angeles's response has faced criticism, particularly due to water shortages. Some fire crews have been hindered by dry hoses from a closed reservoir. Budget cuts to the fire department have limited the department's preparedness, though officials claim that even with more resources, the fires may have been too severe to contain. The destruction has impacted homes and historical sites, disproportionately affecting communities that have a history of systemic neglect. Early damage estimates suggest that this could be the costliest wildfire event in U.S. history, with projected losses between $135 and $150 billion. Can Rick Caruso take over the mayor's office in 2026? The political future of Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is uncertain following her handling of the recent wildfires in Southern California. With already low approval ratings, she is facing increased scrutiny after her controversial decision to travel to Ghana despite fire risk warnings. Additionally, her budget cuts to the Los Angeles Fire Department have raised concerns about the city's wildfire response. In contrast, former mayoral candidate Rick Caruso is positioning himself as a more effective leader. By actively organizing private firefighting efforts to protect his properties during the fires, Caruso has enhanced his image as a proactive figure in the crisis. While Bass could still recover if she effectively manages recovery efforts, Caruso's emergence as a strong contender raises questions about her political future. The pivotal issue is whether she can regain Angelino's trust or if Caruso will leverage rising dissatisfaction with her leadership in a bid for mayor in 2026. Los Angeles' progress and challenges under Mayor Bass. Mayor Karen Bass has achieved notable successes in her first 2 years, such as a decrease in violent crime, increased public transit ridership, and progress on homelessness. Despite a national 18% rise in homelessness, Los Angeles saw a 5% reduction. Bass's efforts to combat homelessness were validated when voters approved Measure A in November, extending a sales tax to fund local initiatives aimed at addressing homelessness. Moving into the second half of her term, Bass faces challenges due to the potential shift to a Trump administration, which could limit federal support for issues like immigration and homelessness. Bass's relationship with California Governor Gavin Newsom has been mixed. While she has received some support for homelessness, tensions have arisen particularly regarding the forced removal of encampments on state property. Bass's political future depends heavily on her ability to demonstrate tangible progress on homelessness. If she fails to deliver visible results soon, opposition voices may grow louder, threatening her political standing and the city's recovery efforts. Los Angeles' mayor election polls 2026 and previous election results. The 2022 Los Angeles mayoral election was held on November 8, 2022, after a top two primary on June 7, 2022. With no candidate securing over 50% of the vote in the primary, the race advanced to a general election. Over 40 candidates initially expressed interest, with 27 filing declarations to collect signatures. Of these, 12 candidates ultimately qualified for the ballot, highlighting the competitive nature of the race. The election, like all local elections in California, was nonpartisan. Incumbent Mayor Eric Garcetti, ineligible for a third term due to term limits, served an extended second term after a law aligned local election dates with midterm and statewide elections. In July 2021, Garcetti was nominated as U.S. Ambassador to India, but the Senate stalled his confirmation, resulting in Garcetti completing his term. The general election featured U.S. Representative Karen Bass and real estate developer Rick Caruso as the top two contenders. Karen Bass was declared the winner on November 16, 2022, of the 2,120,515 registered voters in Los Angeles. 1,018,139 votes were cast on November 22, 2022, with 15,105 ballots still outstanding. LA mayoral election polls 2026 demographics. Los Angeles exhibits contrasting population trends, with the metro area growing modestly to 12,598,000 in 2025 at a 0.51% annual rate, while the city itself has been declining, now standing at 3,820,914, with an annual decrease of 0.65%. Los Angeles County mirrors this decline, with a 2025 population estimate of 9,606,925, reflecting a 0.58% growth rate over the past year. Los Angeles is a hub of racial diversity, with the following breakdown. Whites, 1,597,875. Others, including Latino populations, 952,377. Two or more races, 493,491. Asians, 458,721. Blacks or African Americans, 332,173. Native Americans, 40,695. Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islanders, 5,709. The gender distribution in Los Angeles is nearly equal. Males, 50.01%, or 1,941,047. Females, 49.99%, or 1,939,994. The median age is 36.5 years, with men averaging 35.8 years, and women 37.3 years, reflecting slightly higher longevity for women. Economic and household challenges influence migration patterns, leading to both international immigration and out-migration. The city has a high population density of 8,304 people per square mile, with 63.4% of households renting their homes. The significant senior population, 521,015, and an age dependency ratio of 49.6 underscore the need for robust support systems. And that was Los Angeles Mayor Election Polls 2026, Will Wildfires Hurt Mayor Karen Bass's Re-Election Chances? Author unknown, from politicalpulse.net for February 28, 2025. Well, with the time that we have left, let's just stay with the present now, with 2025, and see what kind of elections are coming up shortly this year. There's actually some special elections for the House of Representatives that are going to be coming up pretty soon. There's the Florida's 1st Congressional District, with Republican Matt Gaetz chose not to assume a seat, and the district has a partisan index of plus 19 points for Republicans. On Florida's 6th Congressional District, Republican Michael Waltz resigned on January 2025 to serve as Trump's national security advisor, and that district has a partisan index of plus 14 points for Republicans. And there's also New York's 21st Congressional District, where Republican Elise Stefanik is expected to resign upon her confirmation as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. And that district has a partisan index of plus 9 points. And the two main gubernatorial races that will be happening in November of this year is New Jersey, where two-term Democrat Phil Murphy is termed out, and in Virginia, where one-term Republican Glenn Youngkin is term-limited as well. Virginia forbids their governors from running for re-election. There's actually two states that are going to hold lieutenant governorship elections in 2025. And it's actually the same two states. New Jersey, where lieutenant governors are elected on the same ticket as the governor. And Democrat Tahisha Way has held that seat since 2023. And also in Virginia, one-term Republican Winsome Earl Sears is retiring to run for governor. There's one state that's having an attorney general election in 2025, and that is Virginia, with one-term Republican Jason Mayares running for re-election there. The Supreme Court is actually having a couple of elections, state Supreme Courts, that is. Two states will hold Supreme Court elections in 2025, Wisconsin, where three-term incumbent Anna Walsh Bradley will not seek re-election in 2025, and in Pennsylvania, where three Democratic justices are eligible to stand for retention re-election in 2025, and they are Christine Donahue, David N. Wecht, and Kevin M. Doherty. And there's one state that will hold a superintendent election in 2025, and that is Wisconsin, where one-term incumbent Jill Underlie is running for re-election in 2025. And as far as legislative races are concerned, there are legislative elections that will be held for the lower house of the New Jersey legislature and the lower house of the Virginia General Assembly. There will also be 2025 New Jersey Assembly elections, as well as Virginia House of Delegates elections as well. There are also 64 state legislative special elections scheduled, so we won't cover that right now. Mayoral elections will be the dominant ones throughout this year. We have mayoral race in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where the incumbent Democrat Tim Keller is running for re-election. Allentown, Pennsylvania, incumbent Democrat Matthew Turk is running for re-election. Alton, Illinois, where the incumbent David Goines is running for re-election. Atlanta, where incumbent Democrat Andre Dickens is running for re-election. There's Atlantic City, New Jersey, where the incumbent Democrat Marty Small is running for re-election. Aurora, Illinois, the incumbent Republican mayor, Richard Irvin, is running for re-election. Biloxi, Mississippi, the incumbent Republican Andrew Gillich is running for re-election. Binghamton, New York, the incumbent Republican Jared M. Cram is eligible to run for re-election. Obviously, nothing's been decided yet. Birmingham, Alabama, the incumbent Democrat Randall Woodfin is running for re-election there. Bloomington, Illinois, where the incumbent Maboka Milawambe is running for re-election. Boston, the incumbent Democrat Michelle Wu, she is running for re-election as well. Buffalo, New York, acting incumbent Democrat Christopher Scanlon is eligible to seek a full term. Nothing's been decided there yet. Calumet City, Illinois, the incumbent Democrat Thaddeus Jones, he's running for re-election. Centerville, Georgia, this is a special election. The incumbent is undetermined after John Harley resigned. Charlotte, North Carolina, incumbent Democrat Vi Lyles is running for re-election there. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where the incumbent is Republican Tiffany O'Donnell. She's running for re-election. Chattanooga, Tennessee, the incumbent is independent Tim Kelly. He's running for re-election. Cincinnati, the incumbent Democrat Aftab Perival is running for re-election. Cleveland, the incumbent Democrat there is Justin Bibb. He is eligible to run for re-election. Nothing's been decided yet. Columbia, Missouri, the incumbent is Barbara Buffalo with an E. She is running for re-election. Columbia, South Carolina, where the Republican incumbent Daniel Rickenman is running for re-election. Dearborn, Michigan, the incumbent Abdullah Hamoud is running for re-election there. Dearborn Heights, Michigan, the incumbent is Bill Bazzi, eligible to run for re-election. Nothing's been decided yet. Dalton, Illinois, where the incumbent is Democrat Tiffany Hanyard. She is running for re-election. Durham, North Carolina, the incumbent Leonardo Williams is eligible to seek re-election. Nothing's been decided yet. Erie, Pennsylvania, the incumbent is Democrat Joe Schember, running for re-election. Fort Worth, Texas, the incumbent is Republican Maddie Parker, running for re-election there. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the incumbent is Democrat Wanda Williams, running for re-election there. Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where the incumbent is independent Toby Parker. He is running for re-election. Helena, Montana, where the incumbent is Democrat Wilmont Collins, eligible to seek re-election. Nothing's been decided. Jackson, Mississippi, the incumbent is Democrat Chukwe Antar Lumumba, running for re-election there. Lansing, Mississippi, the incumbent is Democrat Andy Shore, eligible to seek re-election. Nothing's happened yet. Libertyville, Illinois, the incumbent is independent Donna Johnson. She is running for re-election. Madison, Mississippi, the incumbent is Republican Mary Hawkins Butler, running for re-election there. Manchester, New Hampshire, the incumbent is Republican Jay Ruiz, eligible to run for re-election. Nothing's been decided yet. Meridian, Mississippi, the incumbent is Democrat Jimmy Smith, running for re-election. Minneapolis, the incumbent is Democratic Farm Labor candidate Jacob Frey. He's running for re-election. And we also got New York City, where the incumbent is Eric Adams, where he is running for re-election. Plenty of others happening, folks. We'll keep you updated on everything that is happening with any election and elected officials right here in the city, the state, and the nation. Until next time, everybody, this is your election guru, Mark Braun. Happy voting and peace.